We are blessed, church. I got to be a part of the mission teams that were here, and they were two very different mission teams, but wow, did they both love the Lord. They both those teams loved the Lord with all their heart, and they showed it by what they did for us. Maybe by now you've gotten a chance to look around at some of the things that they've done. If I were to do those things by myself, it would have taken me the rest of the year. They did it in a week. More. They did it in a week. Church, we are blessed beyond measure that we have mission teams that come here to help us. That see what the Lord is doing here and they say, I want to be a part of it. Wow. What a wonderful thing to see. Now let me ask you, it's not really part of the message, but is your heart the same for what God has given us here at New Life? Do you cherish the ministries that He gives to us? Do you want Him to use you in the ministries that He's given us? We are blessed more than many churches to have the ability to get to serve the brokenness. We don't stand behind the curtain. I'm not saying all churches do that, that don't have ministries, but we don't stand behind the church and say we love brokenness. God has given us the ability to deal with it right in our face. We have the ability to see God change people's lives. Wow, what a wonderful thing to see. Amen, church. What a wonderful thing to see. I love the songs that we sing. I always like to tie worship in to at least the beginning because it is important to worship God. It's important, the songs that we sing, not just because they sound really good, or Ashley's a really good singer, or Jen's a really good singer, or Eddie's a really good singer. It's not about all that. It's about the heart of the person singing to God. That's awesome worship. That is wonderful worship. That's an amazing worship. Missions is so important, church. So important to this church, to the world. Why? Because there's lost souls that need to be found. There are lost souls that need to be found. And there's the blind that need to see. We were all like the blind. We were all like the lost soul that needs to be found. We were all in that place. And every single one of us needed Christ to come into our life. To find us. To bring us into the family of God. To make us see. We were once blind and we couldn't see the awesome glory of Christ, the awesome work of salvation in our life. There's many of us probably here in this church that have been saved by Christ, that has gotten the awesome gift of salvation, the wonderful gift that God has given us. Many Christians have experienced this great gift, this awesome gift, and have never shared it in their life. Oh, wow, what a bad thing not to share. Amen, church. This awesome gift that God's given us, and you've never shared it. Ever. There are some of you today, sitting in this pews, that have never once shared the gospel. That's tough. Why is that tough? Because it's the best news that anybody could ever hear. It's the best news that I've ever heard. There's nothing that compares to the news, the awesome gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Christ made me alive. I have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Don't you want others to know that too? Don't you want others to know the awesome gift of salvation? We're going to be in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're staying on this mission week. The Gospel of John, John chapter 4. But I want us just to hear this thing from Paul. While you guys turn there. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Amen, church? Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." It doesn't just go to the rich. It doesn't just go to the poor. It doesn't just go to someone or something. It goes to everyone who would believe in Jesus Christ. That's why you ought not to be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of salvation the awesome salvation of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this question, church. Have you received the awesome gift, and are you sharing it? Oh, wow, what a simple question, but a powerful question. Have you experienced the wonderful gift of salvation, and are you sharing it in your life? Let me give you a little bit of context to John chapter 4. John chapter 3, if you've never read it, oh, please read it. It's so wonderful. It is so awesome. It is so great. We see a religious leader named Nicodemus. He asked Jesus a question. Lord, we know you are from God. And Jesus tells him, unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. Wow, what a weird thing Nicodemus had to hear. He's like, born again? How can I be born again? That doesn't even make any sense. But we all have to be born again. We all have to be born again. In one of the greatest things ever told in John chapter 3. We all know it. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Oh, listen to it closely if you've never heard it before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen, church. Oh, wow, does God love us so much that he sent his one and only Son to die for us, not so that he could condemn the world, but so that he could save you and I, so he could save the whole world. Oh, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation to everyone who believes. Oh, wow, what a wonderful, awesome thing. John chapter 4, I love this story. It's a wonderful story. If you know what this story is, oh, wow, is it powerful. John chapter 4, verse 1 says, now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Then he had to go through Samaria. So he came to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. See, Jesus here is, he's starting to gain some popularity. He's starting to get more and more disciples. And it says here that he wasn't baptizing. He was having his disciples baptized. Well, why would you think he would do that? Well, who else was baptizing? John the Baptist. Did you know Jesus is greater than John the Baptist? Jesus is setting himself apart here. Oh, baptism, it's a wonderful thing, but he's also training his disciples. Who are baptizing when Jesus ascends into heaven? His disciples. In the book of Acts, you see his disciples baptizing over and over again, but you also see Jesus gets tired here. Jesus was fully God, amen, church? But he was also fully human. Jesus got tired as you and I get tired. Why is that so important to our life? Because Jesus can sympathize with our weaknesses. That's what the Bible says. He understands the pain and the suffering that we go through. That's important for us to know that Jesus here is fully God, but fully human. He gets tired. But I love in verse 4, it says, now he had to go through Samaria. Jews didn't do that. It's important to the whole story. Jews did not go through Samaria. It was the quickest way to get from Judea to Galilee. It was the quickest way. But the Jews said, we will not go through Samaria. We'll go around. They took the long way to get around. They did not go through Samaria. So it's interesting that Jesus says, now he had to go through Samaria. I have to go through there. It doesn't make sense for the Jews to go through Samaria. We don't like them. We don't want anything to do with them. That's what the Jews didn't want anything to do with them. But Jesus says, I'm going there. I'm going to go there. I got to go there. And listen, church, have you ever been in a place where Jesus takes you somewhere where you probably wouldn't have went on your own? You know, he's taken me a lot of places I would have never went on my own. So many different places. And we see missionaries have spoken in this church, and you've heard other missionaries. And they say, I wouldn't have picked Tanzania, but God chose it. I wouldn't have picked China, but God, who would pick China? Who would pick Africa if you're being persecuted to death? But God chose to go there. God chose to send me there. And let me ask you, church, is God telling you to go somewhere where you don't want to go, to share the greatest news you've ever known. You ever, maybe it's at work. Maybe it's your coworker that sits in the cubicle next to you. I don't really care for that person. Is God telling you to go there? Maybe it's your neighbor. You hate how he mows the lawn. But is God telling you to go there? Maybe it's that homeless person with the sign on the street. Been there for months. Is God telling you to go there? Maybe it's the meal ministry. Maybe the Lord's telling you to go there and share the greatest news you've ever heard. Is God telling you to go there? This is so important because God knows way more than I do. God knows who needs to be saved. And God knows who's going to respond to the message. And there's many times I think, my own opinion, that we say, nope, not going to go there. And that person may never hear the gospel. That's a hard reality to sit with, at least for me. That if the Lord tells me to go somewhere and I say, nope, sorry, I don't really like them, that they might not ever hear the message, ever. Praise the Lord that He works with us, that He helps us even when we are disobedient at times. He disciplines us and hopefully He gives us a moment like Jonah to go and do it all over again. But maybe if you say no just the one time, that might be your missed opportunity. Praise the Lord, He goes to Samaria. Why? Let's look. Verse 7, it says, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Amen, church. Oh, wow, what a wonderful, he says, if you knew the gift of God and if you knew who was standing right in front of you, you would have asked him for a drink and he would have given you living water. Has he not done that in your life? Has he not given you living water in your life? An awesome water that satisfies your soul for the rest of your life. It's an amazing water. It's an amazing gift that can only be given through Jesus Christ. Jesus knows exactly how to start the conversation. Many of us struggle. What does he say? It's so simple. Will you give me a drink? Why is that so important to this story right here? Because the Samaritan woman looks and she's baffled at the fact that Jesus would say anything to her at all. And listen to me, there's people in your life that are struggling with pain and suffering and you walk by them every day and they're longing for someone just to say, do you need a hand? Do you need a hand? Baffled that Jesus would talk to her, a Jew. Let alone men didn't talk to women, especially rabbis. There's a funny story when I did some studying, is that some more extreme rabbis, most of them would just turn their head, but some extreme rabbis would, when they would see a woman coming, they would cover their eyes. They would keep walking and they would cover their eyes, and there was a little funny story that they would just walk into buildings. This wasn't a common thing. Jews didn't do this. Jesus knows exactly how to start the conversation. See, we overanalyze how to share the gospel. This step, this step, this step, this step, this step. Until I get all this figured out, I'm not going to share the gospel. We overanalyze rather than letting the one person that can actually save a soul lead you. That's the Holy Spirit. You can't save anybody. Your mom, your dad, your friend, your loved one, whoever you know who needs Christ, you can't save them. You can try and try and try, you can't save them. But the one who can is Jesus Christ. Ask Him how to start the conversation. Ask Him how to share the gospel. Trust in the Holy Spirit in your life. Stop overanalyzing how to share the gospel. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some good ways to start sharing the gospel. I'm not saying throw those all out the window, but I'm saying trust in the one who can actually save a life. That's Jesus Christ. trust him. Listen to me, she was probably stunned that Jesus would even say anything at all to her. She doesn't even know who's standing in front of her. She doesn't know it's the Messiah. She doesn't know it's Jesus Christ. And he says, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Living water, this awesome gift. And we pass by people every day who need the gift, who are thirsty and need the gift. Verse 11 says, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Oh, wow, what an awesome promise in our life. Listen to me, there's people today trying their hardest to satisfy the thirst in their soul, the deepest part of their soul, and they can't ever do it. You can't ever do it without Christ. And I love what Jesus says here, but he says, but whoever drinks of the water that I give them, the water that Jesus gives them, will never thirst again. Let me testify today, church. I have never thirsted in the deepest part of my soul when I received Christ. He has kept his promise every day for me, even in my struggles, in my pains, in my doubts, in my worries, all those different things. There's one thing that remained the same. Jesus is the one who satisfies my soul. He's the one who makes me never thirst ever again. He's the one who springs up the water into everlasting life. It's not just a fountain that satisfies the soul, but it's a fountain that satisfies everlasting life. It's a water that quenches even death. Even death springs up into eternal life. Quenches even death. Removes our sin. Washes them away. Oh, wow, does Christ love us? Wow, does Jesus love us? And let me tell you this question that the woman asks. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock? Let me tell you something, church. Jesus is greater than Abraham. Jesus is greater than Isaac. Jesus is greater than Jacob. He is greater than the prophets. Why? Because one thing that those men couldn't do was give living water. Great men, faithful men, all those things. Good men who believed in God and were considered righteous because of it. But the one thing they couldn't do was give living water. Jesus is better than them. And listen to me, he's better than anything that you're relying on today that isn't Christ. Drugs, not going to satisfy. Alcohol, not going to satisfy. Man, not going to satisfy. A woman, not going to satisfy. But the one who can satisfy the soul, his name is Jesus Christ. Have you experienced the church? Have you been given the gift? Have you received the gift in your life? It can only be found in Christ alone. People want it. They long for it. They search for it. They do whatever they can to get it. But the only way that you can get it is Christ and Christ alone. That's the awesomeness of the gospel. That God would satisfy our thirst and give us living water, a fountain of water to everlasting life. He calls you a child of God and gives you a fountain of water, of living water that never runs dry. Wow, we are so blessed, church, to have this amazing, awesome fountain of water that springs up to everlasting life. Wow. Verse 15. says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. This woman here, she's saying, sign me up. Sign me up. If I don't have to come to this well ever again, sign me up. She doesn't quite understand. She doesn't quite get it. And maybe if you've been sharing the gospel with somebody, have you ever been in a place where you're sharing it and you think you're making it pretty clear, but that person's like, they're just not getting it. This woman here, she's almost there. She's kind of getting it, but she's thinking more physical rather than spiritual. Can I tell you, physical, it's good for a moment, but wow, does it waste away. God wants to deal with our spirit before he ever deals with our physical. And praise the Lord, he does, because our physical passes away, but our spirit to everlasting life. Such an amazing thing. Such a wonderful thing. She says, sir, sign me up. Give me this water. But Christ has to deal with something first. Let's see what he says in verse 16. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Some people in the world would say, wow, Jesus, you're being kind of judgmental, right? Wow, five husbands? But Jesus has to deal with something very important. The woman wants the water. You know, she wants this living water, but Jesus first has to show her why she needs this living water. Why she has to have this living water. Jesus first has to deal with her sin. Is that not how we come to salvation? Jesus first deals with our sins. It's something simple. I got to share the gospel with a little girl at VBS, and she accepted it. She received it. It was an amazing thing, but it's something simple that Lifeway kind of puts together, and I've seen it ever since. It's the ABCs of salvation. You know what the first A is? Admit. Admit that you're a sinner and repent. Admit that you're a sinner and repent. We all need to admit today, right now, that we're sinners. That we've all fallen short of the glory of God and that we need a Savior. Jesus brings this conversation up so that the woman understands why she needs this living water. Why she needs the living water in our life. And we can say, wow, that seems kind of down. That's not the exciting, awesome part of the gospel. Well, listen to me. Sometimes we have to be brought down to where we know that we need salvation. That we're brought low so that we can see our desperate need for salvation. Sometimes, you ever been in church? Well, you're in church right now. But you ever been in church, and maybe Pastor Jimmy's preaching? It's not really by what he said, but by what he reads in the Word of God. And it pierces your soul, convicts your heart, convicts you, and then the Lord corrects you. This is exactly what Jesus is doing here. And listen to me, this is where most people walk. In your conversation with them, if you're sharing the gospel, right here, when you bring up sin, this is where a lot of people walk. Even Christians, if we're not talking about salvation and we're just bringing up sin, most Christians, they'll walk too. We don't like to deal with sin, but wow, do we need to be brought low so Jesus can show us why we need him so much in our life. You need Jesus in your life. Why? Because you sin every day. You need Jesus in your life because you're not good enough. But he is. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Verse 19 says, sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that this place where we worship, where we must worship in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has come now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, am He." Wow. Think about it. Put yourself in her shoes for just a moment. You're talking with this man who probably shouldn't be talking to you at all. He's talking to you. He tells you what you haven't even told him yet. She's like, you got to be a prophet. You know the things that I've done. But this worship thing, I don't quite understand this. But Jesus says there's a time that when we won't worship in a place, rather in our heart. Can I tell you, church, that's today? Oh, praise the Lord. Like Carl said, I'm glad we have a place to worship. I'm glad we have a place here to worship, but the building doesn't worship. The people in it do. You and I worship. God's Spirit lives inside of us, and we worship. We're the worshipers. We worship in spirit and truth. And then the woman says, I know, prophet, I know that when the Messiah comes, that's called Christ, He'll explain it. It'll make a lot more sense when He comes. And Jesus doesn't do this very often in His ministry, but it's kind of neat that He does it with this Samaritan woman. Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, am He." Think about it. If you're standing there in that place, and the person you've been talking to says, "I'm the Messiah. I'm Jesus, the one that you're talking about." It would be crazy. I'm sure it blew her mind. I'm sure it blew her mind. It'd blow my mind. Be crazy. The one she's been talking to this whole time is the Messiah. Wow. Do you know that there's people today that still don't know Christ? Seems odd to us in America. But there are people in America that don't know the Messiah's come. There's people in Tanzania that don't know the Messiah has come. There's people in China, in Russia, Canada, Mexico, South America, all over the world, who don't know the greatest thing that's ever happened. The Messiah has come. Wow, she must have been baffled, and she just received the greatest revelation she'll ever hear, ever. Do you remember the day that was shared to you? Do you remember when you came to know Christ? How joyful and wonderful it was. Do you want others to know that? Do you want others to feel that as well? Verse 27, just then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" And leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. You know that she had to have been so excited. Why do we know that? Because she left her water jar. She came to get water. That's all she came for. She wasn't expecting to talk to the Messiah. She wasn't expecting to come to know Christ. But she was so excited, she left her water jar, and she had to run back to her town to tell the people the greatest thing that she's ever heard. The Messiah has come, and she says, "Come and see a man that has told me everything that I ever did." Most people would said, "Man, this guy judged me. This guy said all the sins I ever had." But no, she told the town, "Come and see a man who knew everything about me." Jesus knows everything about you in your life. That's why He's greater than all those other people. That's why He's the King of glory. That's why He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And why did this woman not run away because Jesus judged her, or judged her like the world would say? Because, listen to me, Jesus did something most Christians have a hard time doing: loving in truth. Loving in truth. You know, if you don't tell the truth to someone, you don't really love them. Did we hear me, church? Beating around the bush when you're sharing the gospel is doing the gospel a disservice. Dumbing down the gospel so that you think someone might trust in it is doing the gospel a disservice. We all need to hear that we're sinners. And we all need to know that salvation is found in Christ and Christ alone. If you're not sharing that, you're not sharing the gospel. This woman is so happy and so cheerful that she shares the gospel. And remember the time that Jesus came into your life. Were you just as excited? Were you just as excited to share Jesus Christ? I wish Christians would be more like this woman, filled with joy because you've been saved. Filled with joy so much, excited to tell others. That's what I see from this woman. So excited to tell others. We need more Christians sharing the gospel. There's a lot of lost souls, a lot of brokenness, a lot of hopelessness. We need more Christians sharing the gospel, sharing living water. And you never know what the Lord might do through your obedience. You never know what the Lord might do by you just sharing the gospel. Some of you think the Lord's not going to save them. Some of us today think that our family member, our friend, our coworker, too far gone. Can't save them. Can I tell you that Christ can save anyone? Amen, church. Christ can save anyone. Let's see what happens. Verse 39 says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So the Samaritans came to him. They urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, more and more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Just because an encounter with Jesus at the well, many people from a village, many people from the town were saved because of this woman's testimony of what she said. She says, he told me everything I ever did. And I love what they say. It says, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. Now we have seen for ourselves. We know that this man really is the Son of God. I'll remind you again, you do not save anyone. All you're doing is sharing what you've heard, hoping that the one that you're sharing it to might also hear the awesome news of salvation. The awesome gift of salvation in our life. The gospel is worth sharing, church. The gospel is worth sharing to those who need it. The gospel is worth sharing. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? If you're not sharing it, you just might be. If you're not sharing it, you just might be. There are many people in this world who are thirsty. Many people in our lives that are thirsty. And if you're a believer, you have living water. Share it. If you're a believer in Christ today, share it. Why are missions so important? Missionaries are not just to go to Africa and China. Awesome. I'm glad they're faithful. Because they need it over there too. But you're called to be missionaries exactly where you are. Are you being faithful? Are you being faithful? You have living water. Share it with those who are thirsty. Jesus did. So should we. Jesus shared the awesome gift. So should we. It's the greatest thing to see. If you've shared the gospel, it's the greatest thing to see God save a soul. I got to share the gospel with that little girl, and just because she was young, didn't change the fact of the joy in my heart. If I shared the gospel with an 80-year-old that come to Christ, I would be just as excited as an 8-year-old. Why? Because I love to see God save a soul. I pray you're the same. I pray you love to see it. So let me ask you, church, could you share the gospel a little more? Could you share the gospel at all? It's so important because it's such a wonderful gift. Amen, church? Amen. Let's stand.